ritual the communication cord for the mental intimacy, the emotional intimacy and expression of love for another, and the physical intimacy, talking by non-sexual touch, tenderness, into the fullness of love-making. So you have four areas: ritual, intellectual, emotional, and physical. I ask them, rate each one separately with it. Rate or assess, evaluate the relationship on a scale from 0 to 10 in these four areas. I listen to say ritual, they will take 4 or 5 out of 10. One will write 5, other will 4. But if someone writes 7, the other 4, there is a big difference between the two. You don't understand. Because all these activities, intimate, mutual, part, communication part, the rating, the emotional and the physical. And I see, and this is how far the relationship is with us in the four areas. I will ask the question again just to be sure that it is in your mind. Do you think every part of those four, every component of this intimate relationship, is it holy to the eyes of God? You think God is present in these four components? All of them are holy? Answer yes or no? I have to be sure that all those four components to me are holy by His presence. And without His presence, any one of those four will be unholy. So I will see which areas we need to work on. Usually, if a couple will come and thinking of divorce or separation, those four areas, all of them will be suffering. So anyway, I will tell you now certain exercises how to rekindle the spiritual intimacy, the communication part, the emotional and the physical part. If two of them are working and the others are not, each one 25% of the value of the relationship. See, if the emotional and the physical are working, if you are just satisfied, that's okay. Which means you will take, say, 40% out of 50%, and the others are nil. 40 or 50% of the relationship is not a good score. It means that the Holy Spirit is quenched in that relationship. Intimacy needs time, which means you have to spend at least 1 hour a day. For some, it's a dream, a fantasy, to have 1 hour together. For some, it's easy, but in our loaded schedule, 1 hour is too much. It cannot be less. Yeah, you read the Bible, you pray, you communicate about all kinds of matters, express feelings for one another, talk about your problems, and having love together. All that needs more than 1 hour. Every day, yes, there's a lot to communicate about. Communicate about whatever, better than not to communicate at all. So spiritual intimacy means that two are involved in the same activity. You don't read the Bible by yourself. If each one of you is reading and praying on his own, it doesn't mean spiritual intimacy. It means your spiritual life is okay. But your spiritual intimacy is not okay. Reading together, praying together, coming to the church together, take communion the same day, going for confession, not in the same session, I mean going alone, each one confess separately. Coming to a confession like this, fasting, spiritual book, reading spiritual stuff or miracles and share it with others. The sharing is spiritual intimacy. Any book of miracles is very good. It gives hope to the relationship. So it is the involvement of the two in spiritual activity. This is spiritual intimacy. And you will find books, complete books in the market about how to be a soulmate. They need a spiritual intimacy. And there are 50 ways to be spiritually intimate. Not the Orthodox way, but we have the own way. And we have our own Orthodox lifestyle. In Orthodoxy, orthopraxy, to practice Orthodoxy, is most important. That's why we have Orthodox lifestyle. The way we fast, the way we celebrate the feast, the way we worship, is too different. That's why spiritual intimacy, yes, we are intimate through one heavenly room, but the spiritual activity itself could be different if the two are coming from different denominational backgrounds. It might affect the spiritual intimacy. You could sing together, you could chant together, you could pray together, whatever. Spiritual activity, you do it together. Spiritual intimacy. And in communication, we call it bank of respect. You will open a joint account in the bank of respect. You know the word seat, S-E-A-T-S? Can God give you the two seats in heaven, Mama? Seat, S-E-A-T-S. S, the first one, stands for spiritual intimacy. E stands for edification. Edification to build up the communication. A stands for affection. C stands for tenderness, touch, and time spent together. The last S is sexuality. Sexual fulfillment. So, we'll discuss each one of those. The E education means the positive communication. We have one account in the bank of respect, which means every deposit in that account could add to the respect between the two. You could add points, deposit points, or take off points. If you say something negative, or you say something positive, it will affect the joint account or the level of respect between both of you. We'll start by the positive. To ensure that your communication is positive, one of the following 6 issues must be included in your communication. Number one, edification. Statements which edify, to build up, negativity. Number two, encouragement. Three, support. Four, appreciation. Five, praise. than admiration. The difference between appreciation and admiration. You understand encouragement, of course. The opposite is discouragement. Appreciate, and you appreciate an action, behavior, words which are said. You appreciate something done already. You appreciate that your husband is working so many hours to come and provide money. You appreciate that the wife is doing good job in parenting and taking care of the kids, plus cooking, plus working outside. So we appreciate one another. We have to express appreciation by saying, "I appreciate what you are doing." And I have to say, it's not what you are doing, I have to say, "I appreciate what you have done today, such and such and such. I told you to come early and you came, I really appreciate that. I asked you to spend some time together and you stayed that time. Thank you, I appreciate that. I admire a character. I admire characters, especially godly characters or positive characters. And I have to express that to you. I express your honesty. Everything is so clear. You don't have any hidden agenda. Thank you. I admire your openness, your persistence. I admire your trust. I admire character in the person. But you have to say it verbally. It is not sufficient to keep it inside you. You have to express it. When you express it, you take point. Every time you express in those six areas in your communication, you will set one point. If you say the opposite, how many points you deduct? What do you think? If I say to someone you are stupid, how many times I say good words to correct the effect of what I have said? Can you tell me again? If I say something bad, label, do you think two or three times are sufficient to delete the text file? Sometimes not even ten. Sometimes women don't forget at all. Can you get any man dare to say to his wife, "I think my mom is making the right in a better way"? She will never forget that ever in her life. She will remind you after 25 years I said that. And every time she will hear from Quayin a little help, as your mother is doing it. Yani. So put in your mind, everyone is different. If your spouse has a problem of keeping everything in her memory, in memory, she's not saying. But I don't want to have to struggle. You're not a man. You're not man enough. Yani. Yani. There are double faith and the lacha. The two of the Hadr Adams in the third Adams, mission hope and the other. How many times, how many good words could delete the effect of this? You have to be really careful in negative comments. Stay focused as much as you can. And one negative comment, it will take you a month to Jesus himself. It's not a matter of forgiveness. Yes, he or she could forgive. but it's aching inside. It's hurting. Well, let me not hurt for this one. Everybody could hurt. It will heal. Like that. Communication in general, I'm not going to say what the opposite. Negative criticism, harsh comments, and sarcasm, blaming, and there are so many things. And if you point fingers, you hate, you curse, you compare, those are negative things. So we don't can do it, we try to be away from it. But always remember you have to include one of those six areas in your communication. Yeah, don't say the communication unless you express something good. Compliment, praise and compliment. We are dying in our society from lack of compliment. Why? In a marriage, in a matter, relationship, the two are one. We are supporting one another. And they hear, if I will tell her that she did very well the cooking, she cooked very well, maybe Satan will attack her by fire. So better ignore. I can't do that. I have to say, I have seen so many priests and bishops, the Pope himself will compliment. If there is nothing good, he will compliment you. Nothing wrong. I say thank you, it's very good. And sometimes I like it as senses. Someone stay all the night cooking and go and visit. And you don't want to eat. But you have to eat. Because there is father. Then good time to play, to return something good for you. And she eats and eat. Eating as a food, get something. I know some bishops get up and the spoon gets something from each. Because they are validating that the lady spent time in doing that. Which means thank you, I appreciate the time you spent. So if she spends good time in cooking and then she will burn whatever. I just appreciate the time or criticize. Most of us criticize. It's missing food. I wish if the pepper is more. Someone says, that is pepper. Ali, we have to appreciate time spent outside the house working on the lawn, doing whatever. I have to appreciate. The perfectionist unfortunately look for what is missing, not what is there. I always look for what is missing, what was not done. And this including community of children. You always see what was not done. And you don't appreciate what was done. And I think you remember the story of the Pope who should have said about that student who was speaking all with you. Remember that? The prayer? Unfortunately, I can share a teacher with them. With the teacher. He came and a teacher, and the good. He says, a teacher gives a test, and the student always gives you the test. And he counts the mistakes. So he got 20 mistakes, but still zero. Next time, he got 18 mistakes, he got zero. 15 mistakes, not zero. And the teacher said of the student, the student told the teacher, don't you see that I have improved? I'm good, it was zero. And no, look for the mistakes. from 20, now it's 15. Look for any improvement. Any, in our work in counseling, look for minor improvements to encourage the couple. And the couple must assess and evaluate every minor improvement to give hope for the servant to continue, encourage themselves. So, we have to encourage, appreciate. Perfectionists must lower their standards in order not to discourage and depress others around them, including themselves. Because nothing is enough for a perfectionist. And that feeling is very hurtful. If you see that, nothing will satisfy yourself. But then we are doing, something is missing. In communication, someone must listen and someone must be expressing. Someone speaking or communicating and others listening. While I'm listening, I have to understand. One of the techniques out of long research in University of Colorado in Cambridge communication, they got that something we call the speaker listening technique. Speaker listening technique. To prevent so many problems of communication, like interruption, misunderstanding, misinterpretation, forced humiliation, and others. Say there's something like this, the one who speaks is holding it. Or just a paper, hold the paper, or a book. If I put my hand on that, the cross or a paper or a book, then I have the right to speak without being interrupted. For a certain amount of time, 2 to 3 minutes, while he is speaking and they know that I don't interrupt him, any idea will come to me, I will speak it. I can jump and interrupt. Here is that idea that book of my mind. So he is speaking. I listen and understand. I understand what he is saying. Not trying to prepare the answer. My goal is to understand, not to be understood, to understand. After I have written and understood the message, my turn will come. He will give me the object I will hold. The first to do is to paraphrase. To paraphrase what you have understood in your own language. And think about this way, if we are communicating about a conflict, not I want to go to a movie and other came up. I mean, a long communication. So use this technique. That object has to be not a sharp object. Yeah, I mean, fast scissors or heavy metal. And maybe some of you could get anxious or angry or stressed and you throw it away. I mean, it happens sometimes. But the object must not be metal or sharp. Paraphrasing means I heard you saying such and such and such. I understood you mean such and such and such in my own words. Repeating what I have understood in my own words. When he, the one who was speaking, say yes, there's no way now with understanding. I understood the sentence statement. Then I start speaking. And then later on, he listens, understands, and then he paraphrase, and he continues. And it's going like this. No interruption. I'm not going to humiliate the person. I'm not going to point finger at, I'm using my feeling, I feel, not you. I feel, I heard you saying, I understood sometimes. I don't point fingers at anyone. This is communication. And when you expressing a thought, opinion, feeling, needs, you have to express it in a very clear, precise way. No double meaning, no vagueness. Everyone could understand. And if I don't understand, who is the doctor to say, I do not understand, will you please repeat it again? In a very polite and ethical way. So, there are enemies for communication, no enemies. If a couple wants to learn basic communication, because we have basic skills and advanced skills of communication. Basic skills is to know how to listen, how to understand, how to express. It's the easiest. But the enemies are short tempered. What? Short tempered. Some of them very short tempered. And anxiety. Get angry easily. You can't. You're not patient. You're very impatient. You can't stay 2 minutes listening. Unless you have ADD. Attention deficit disorder. And of course, I will take care of that if my child is like that. I will make it 1 minute, 5 minutes, not 3 minutes. Because you could lose him or lose half that. You know that book? Anybody here by chance has ADD? Well, we look at the doctor's knowledge. You know ADD? You know? You heard about that? There are children with ADD? For sure, some of you have. It's not England, they are in the ADD. There's got muscle, we have. Too late, that is. In every class in the school, class of 30 masters, you find 2 or 3 with ADD. Maybe it's overdiagnosed, but it really affects the self-esteem and the academic progress. Attention deficit disorder. There's a book for ADD about ADD. You ask your husband, please would you bring me when you are returning shopping and five items. You bring me one. And he couldn't forget. So you will blame your husband that he doesn't care. But he really cares. But he can't pay attention and focus and keep his memory. He could criticize him and label him by whatever. But he's wrong. So there's a book called Honey, Are You Listening? Because you could talk to your husband and he can't pay attention. At least you're waking him up. But he has a belief. I know it. Of course, Yanni. It's a good excuse for men that we have ADD. So we don't. But ADD is really something. I mean, you could be a doctor, a lawyer, and but you finish school by a certain way, just to finish. Because it's a different grade, different level of the ADD. But it affects in particular communication. At your workplace and at your home. And with your children, of course. So, I take care of obstacles for communication. There are certain styles of communication which are harmful. One of them is the escalation. You escalate, which means if she says something negative, I will answer with something negative. You will answer back with something negative. You find after a few minutes, 911 will come. The neighbor will call for you, 911. I don't know what it is. 911? 999? Okay. Okay, a clip of 98 will come. Escalation if someone will say something negative, either to keep silent, don't answer, or say something positive. But don't answer anything negative. If you say something negative, this means you are stepping to that area of escalating the situation, the communication. Humiliation. No need at all to humiliate the person in front of you. Of course you know from any way of humiliation, no need to go into humiliation. We are experts in that. And such a way as some of you are saying sarcasm. I could humiliate anybody sarcastically. But I can. And already in our country, it's not bad to be sarcastic. Actually, it could be funny. But to be funny by putting someone down is a sin. It's sinful to put someone down by using sarcasm. Belittling. To feel, to listen, feel that is so little and on top. Humiliation could be another way. Misinterpreting, which means whatever you do, you be misinterpreted. You be misinterpreted. As an example, say you arrive with some very to work, and there is no place to park the car in the street, she passes the driveway. So, you tell her, where did you park your car? She will say, in the driveway. You say, no, I know. You want to go by way in the morning. Because you know I wake up by 5 and go to my work. You don't want me to go to work. But all the street will call her, and the only way, no. So Christ is always the one who misinterprets. You find yourself trying to find, to answer, to prove what you're saying, that you're saying the truth. And there's no way. So misinterpretation is not paranoia, but it's a style of thinking. Whatever you say, there might be misinterpretation. A style of communication which is negative. Another style which is serious, pursuing someone which means she's talking to you about something and you can't take it anymore. She will leave the room and go to another room, she will follow you to complete what you're saying, and then you are so ethical, you don't want to say something, you go to the bathroom. She will stay outside the door completing the sentence. And then, you have to listen, which means you have to listen. And then, you get out of the bathroom, you go towards the door, front door of the house. You want to go outside. She will go between you and the door. She wants to finish what she's saying. This is common. It's a common style. You could relate to it. It happens. But I can't listen, I can't understand and focus if someone is doing that to me. Follow me everywhere, just to complete a sentence. It happens always when we are going to sleep and he or she wants to finish communication about something. And you have to be fully awake to listen against your own will and communicate. What will be the result? No communication for exclusion. It takes two to communicate, and the two must be ready to communicate, with good intention to communicate. You can't communicate about something important with someone that is wrong. And you cannot communicate about something important if the time for this is not feasible. You have to set the place and time and define what you want to discuss and talk about. Say you want to leave England and return back to England. So you want to move from Birmingham to London, and you move all the children, you want to take them home, you know, something really important. You can't do it while somebody is sleeping. There has to be a certain final place, okay? And you pray for that, and gather information, and come and find, and be sure that Jesus Christ is with us, stay for a place, a seat, to put an icon, or a cross, just to prevent, to anticipate some problems, to prevent it. And then why don't we start by defining the problem and give the information how to resolve it. Information about it first. Say we want to move to London because another opportunity is there and we want to stay in Birmingham. And then there's something that affects the family. You say, I need or I'm thinking to go to London. Because in London there's such and such and such. And our option is to stay home. I go before you and then you follow me. Share the state at the end of the academic year. You say the option. And then share to come with other person to define the problem and give information and give option for resolving it. And be away completely from anything negative. Don't mention the name your mother will be there. Don't mention it. Don't mention names of any. Don't compare yourself with others. Don't label. Because we forget that what we are discussing, and I will remember the negative labels you have said. I mean, you never understand. You're always like this. I am fed up with you. Other than church, no, she even has that name. Then avoid that. Why? Because you respect your heavenly guru who is sitting with you. If you forget about him, you make a mistake. See, step number 10, you can preach a win-win solution. What to do? Always, always think that the problem you are discussing is something on the table for discussion. But you and your spouse, you are married, and the matter relationship supersedes in value resolving any issue. Resolving an issue is not important compared to the value of the relationship. If I'm smoking, smoking separates them myself. It's a behavior. I put the behavior for discussion. If you reach a plan to resolve it or not, it's not important, but what's important is we don't leave that conflict resolution, communication, and we are getting away, getting apart by something negative. Then, if we fail to resolve it, I will say after 2 or 3 days, we'll again discuss it. Third time, then we take it to the refuge, our refuge. Our refuge usually is a father of confession or spiritual guide. We will take our matter to him. And he is accessible to both of us, and we feel accountable to him. Whatever he will say, we know that God is telling us that. I know, I remember this was in 1988. I was presenting something in Florida, and then a lady said, my husband comes in the evening and tells me I want to sell everything and go and have a trip around the world, and we have children and a business and a house. What to answer? What way? He determined in the morning to go and sell everything and buy tickets and go around the world, and because it will take 6 months, there's no way. What do we enjoy ourselves? If you start discussing, it would end for for sure there isn't something negative. A good answer is, let us have 2 or 3 days praying for it, and then we discuss it. Maybe he does a dream get in his mind at night, and what to do? Maybe in the morning we will ask it. Maybe if you pray 2 or 3 days before you go to discuss, nothing will happen. God will plan it, because it's harsh to say, I want to tell everything now, and don't think of anybody other than to enjoy yourself going around the world. And that's it. So, if you can't find an answer, at least let us pray for it. Take 2 or 3 days to pray, and then we'll discuss. This is communication for better respect. Just simply not communicating to people conventionally, etc. But that's it. Have to have positive communication. Now, you say, I have to deposit 6 points a day. After 2 weeks, I have to deposit 10 points. You increase the positive points you're adding. If you say anything negative, you decide how many points you take, 2 or 3 points, you delete. And you see your account increasing or decreasing. Letter A for affection. Another bank, we call bank of emotion. You open an account, joint account in the bank of emotion, same way. But you have to understand the language of love of your tongue. You think all of us speak the same language? Of course not. Have to understand the language of expression of love of your tongue. Number one, by asking him or her. By asking them, in what way did I express to you my love? You will be sure that I love you. In what way? If she will answer, you know, tell her, no, I don't know. You are supposed to know. After being with me for 10 years, you're supposed to know. Say, I'm sorry. I need to know for me. Nothing wrong with learning. Each one of us is the best teacher for the others. An experiment will help for another to be successful. So ask, number one, ask. And you could read about language of love. There are books about language of love. You have them, okay? There are not only 5 languages. There are so many different languages. What's mentioned may be respect, companionship, affection, gifts, helping, domestic support, and you could add sexuality. That's so many. You could add, this is my language. If you love me, give me a diamond. If you love me, give me certain gifts. If you love me, give me a hand, an outdoor. Not necessarily to hug me and cuddle me and kiss me. So I have to see that language, and there could be 1 or 2 of those. But I have to speak to you in your own language. So if I am raised in a house in which there is no affection, and you need affection to give you language, I have to express it this way. I don't say this is not my way. I have to speak your language. Because if you speak Russian and you speak English, I have to speak Russian for you to understand. I speak in English to understand. Because the language is long. So I have to understand the language of my spouse. In number one. Number two, how to express by that language and give myself also points. The same as the previous. That will respect. Say, I will give myself 1 point if I do something positive, and say, the last 2 or 3 if I did something negative. if I don't do it, I'm not going to deposit any funds. Bank of emotions, you take a day, like, you know, day with the Lord Jesus, Yom HaRabbi, and so on, things like that, right? How to spend a day with God. How to spend a day expressing your feelings, expressing emotions, your love. You start from the morning. When you were sleeping, just waking up. What to say? You touch the shoulder, you kiss, you hug, you say a good word, you go and take a shower and wash your mouth and then come back. Something has to be done in the beginning. When you wake up, when you are leaving to work and you start still sleeping, what to do? You don't leave home without a kiss or a hug. You are going to wake her. It's better to wake up on a kiss better than to wake up and not find you. And you tell her, I will just come and kiss your cheek and wish you a good day and wish you a good day, and then I will leave and you will continue to leave. If both of you are awake, you don't leave home for any man's company. You don't leave home without a meaningful hug or a kiss. There has to be a meaningful hug and kiss. And meaningful hug and kiss means there's no cliche hug or kiss. Which means you are putting in it your intent. There's no sexuality in it. But there has to be time spent in doing it. You can count from 1 to 5 and you're still keeping coming. And you are showing by your hand what you mean. You feel that he or she is not casual hug or kiss. This one you are leaving. And then you wish for him or for her for leaving a good day. You wish protection. You wish the Lord Jesus Christ to be with him with heart. You wish him to return safely. But nobody knows. Maybe we will not return. Any accident could happen. So the last time we see him, we don't know. So we see one another. During this day, I prefer to be from communication. And the whole communication will not be about what to get with you when you're returning. It will be about an issue. You have to express that. I am going to a lion. I'm not meeting him. I'm not meeting her. Yes, folks, you have to say that. Maybe you leave yourself from one. Because you have to miss. Just think of that. She might not return. When you see her in the couple in front of you, you will miss her. You're not meant by meeting someone. We don't value what we have till we lose that. Just think of it. It happens to anybody. It happens to so many. Heart attack, accident, and then you regret that you do not spend enough time, good time. You don't express your real love. Why do you keep the love inside you without being expressed? The other party, whether a man or a woman, they need that expression. On the return, of course, if both of you are working, you could have love together, away from home. On the return, better to empty what's in your mind before reaching the door. Listen to something in the car. Excite yourself by meeting your children and your son. When you go and your kids will run towards you, or if they are about, of course they are not going to run, they will avoid you. They will hide from you. But your spouse is available. And she could come to you, or you could go to her. But both of you have to thank God. Because both of you are safe after a complete day. Express that by getting connected. Also, a gift of and thanking God. Welcome back. How was your day? Both, whether he or she is at home or the other outside. And spend some time. Talk about how was the day? How God helped? How God protected? If someone is kind of so stressed and he wants to take a shower or change his clothes before starting, fine. I mean, it's not going to hurt him so much if you give hug and kiss his return. But I'm sweating, I'm sweating. Okay, it depends on her take for that. If she will insist, yes, and you wish to hug me, then you go and take a shower, fine, up to her. If she's a perfectionist and have taste of smell and good senses, okay. But everything has to be agreement. Are you coming really thanking God that you are rest safely and you are missing your son and your children? Go to them in the room. Say them hi. I want you. A children. You could go and touch the sugar if they are adolescent and don't like to have your kids. Do whatever you think is acceptable to them. It's a kind of communication, not verbal communication. But don't go to impose on them what is still coming. Just come, just come in. Show that you listen. Say, I hear you. Say it. There are certain words where some of you don't hear it at all, like honey. Sweetie, honey, habibi, Ricky. I mean, some of you don't use it. Good nickname, Dala. Shindalawa. Some prefer certain nicknames, some other don't. You could call your spouse by your love, if you like. She can, and it should be she to enjoy that. You have 1 hour, you sit together to eat. The kids may come or not, it depends on their age. While you are talking together, you have to talk while you are eating. And I prefer the one who is at home to stay, giving some space in his or her tongue, to share at least 1 week together. After that, you can communicate about whatever, the mail, the kids, Bible, praying with the kids, Bible with the kids, what happened in the day, what needs to have to do tomorrow, discuss whatever. And then, when you go to your room, your private time together, I prefer before going to sleep, you pray together. And put our thought, this is a program to revive a relationship. If you are going to need for that, it's fine. But this could rekindle a relationship. It's a prescription. If you don't do it, it's up to you. It's not going to work. When you go to bed, the best in your bed is to put your she will put her head on your shoulder and you embrace her and say good night to the kid for continuing in whatever you want to do and thank God before the answer. If you are married, don't sleep far away from one another. And don't sleep in separate rooms, even if you are snoring. It's not an excuse, because you will get used to that, and it's wrong. Some, when they are thinking, they are used to cold beds. And some hate cold beds. they like someone as companion. You understand? So you have a day, an example of a day. Whatever you are saying, whatever you are doing, focus, you could point from there. Exercises within that area for companionship, which could help in that area. It's better to have a walk together, even 15 minutes, round the block, together. You can do convention together. And then, say in 1 month, a weekend, just 1 night away. What to do with the kids? Somebody could visit the kids when you are walking outside. If they're really kids. Or somebody will take care of them if one is older. But you must have some time together. You could enjoy going to the gym, a recreation. You could take a meal together, not necessarily with the kids, because this is companionship, not a family activity, an intimate activity. And usually a kid by saying, he go to McDonald's, and McDonald's on candlelight. Something very romantic, you know, McDonald's, the way it's set, yeah. But you could set your romance the way you like it. Is it anything good romance? Is it anything our language called romance? And what's romance? Could you romance God? Could you have a romantic experience with God? Yes. That is full of romance. Enjoy romance in God in His creation, nature. Look, He looks around you. To the birds, to the trees, to the water, to grass. Look and enjoy being with God. You could romance your spouse with God, also in His creation. And look at the state of the beach. And you walk bare feet on the beach and far fetchedly. And you go to slow motion, this is the movie. But nothing wrong if you are on the beach to do it. Nothing wrong with it. If you have access to the beach, you're not to do it. Take off your shoes and walk on the sand. You're not going to say anything more. And think about the two together. Not one by himself or herself. You could go and shop together. You could play a game together. Not to say tennis, but I mean play. Whatever. You can test. Whatever. Play together, call together. The togetherness is the most important. Have spend time together. You could pray together, read the Bible together, a special book together. You could be a friend. Friends could come to you. If both of you are with the children, reading a book, you are together. It's not a chance for one to leave and the one to stay. So spending time together is expressing the value of one to another by your presence. If you sit with your spouse, do you have here lock teeth? I don't have lock teeth. I think the one which is two only, not total, six, three or four, just two. It means called lock teeth, which means it is two to be close seated together. Nothing wrong, believe me, if you put your arm around her shoulder, nothing wrong. You're allowed. In front of the kids, nothing wrong. It's not there. Then shaykh is against the eye of God. It's not an anathema to you. But of course, the second is the culture which could be done, but يعني you don't go in other places which not allowed in front of the kids. You can do it in the bedroom. But in front of the kids, is there anything wrong if the kid will see you kissing one another? حتى عن طريقة. No, I'm getting serious. Could the kids see mom and dad kissing? How about if you would not see yourself kissing? Could you do it? Dare to do it. I mean, break the rule, please. Break your system from understanding affection, from understanding love. If kids will not see you kissing and hugging just affectionately, and you see it in the TV, you will know Coptic marriage, they are not going to find affection in it. It's only in a movie, a show, or somebody who's not Coptic also. So you are setting in their mind something negative about our marital relationship. It's positive for them to see mom and dad loving one another, not passionately, loving one another affectionately. It's important for them to feel that mature love in the house. And then the key, the tenderness, wasn't by tenderness. You know, sense by tenderness? Tender heart was always being tender. The opposite. Heart, yes. Yeah. So if you have, you know, the tenderized meat, make it that soft. So, some are really tender in the way they express their touches. Warmth and tenderness. And everybody can do that. If he or she touches in a tender way. Spending time together. You know, there's anybody who would have never seen? I remember one day there was a research in the Journal of Nursing about the effect of touch increases the hemoglobin in the blood. Patients who are touched and patients who are not a controlled patient, and the research is going to show the effect with just touch. Touch the hand. How it affects the lab results, the blood of patients. So there is a positive effect for non-sexual touch and tenderness and softness. Going for the physical intimacy, I'm not going to describe that, but I'm telling you, it is spiritual. The more you are involved in spiritual intimacy, positive communication, positive expression of love, positive touch, positive physical involvement, positive means in the godly way, preceded by affection, foreplay in the physical part. Because some like the appetizers, and some like the need itself. So both of you satisfy the needs of one another, and it's doubly. The more we are involved in those four areas, and our groom, Peter Groom, is with us, feeling the holiness, anything negative is unholy. Anything positive in these four areas is holy. If you do that consistently, and by the way, physical involvement must be scheduled. It must be scheduled. Every week, depending on the age of your marriage, but 2 to 3 times a week. If you need more, it's up to you. But schedule it on the calendar. But if you wait to be spontaneous, it will never happen. These days, it will never happen. Everybody is totally exhausted at the end of the day. If you study this, you will be excited and ready and prepare yourself. This is the recommendation of the American Christian Council now. We have to study this. Forget about it has to be contained. It will never happen this way. And then it will have after the end if you lose that part. God created that part and created, I mean, that interaction because He knows it could get two physically together and the two become one flesh. So the two become one flesh through the four components of intimacy. If you do that continuously, committed to do it for 6 months, it could revive any relationship. But I don't like to brush my teeth. Although it's important. Okay, I will force myself to brush my teeth. Maybe after 1 or 2 months, I will get used to it. Maybe the taste or the feeling of my clean teeth, I will enjoy it. Maybe. Yes, I'm not used to it. But I will enjoy flopping. And I will enjoy brushing my teeth. And I'm also, I will see myself, not the other way, I will see myself a better way. I will enjoy that. The same applies to any behavior therapy, any exercises. If I prescribe a certain prescription in behavior to revive a relationship, and you understand it and you don't do it, as if you are getting a new child to set a meditation for him, and you understand it's important, but you don't give him the meditation, hell is going to heal. And all the good doctor of the relationship who will prescribe for you the real prescription for whatever condition you have. Exercises with spiritual behaviors are important to be done and consistently for some time. He will get you faith and something good, of course. Thank you so much for listening. And if you have any questions, you ask me. But if you don't have, I wish you the best. And as I would say, I would say in the morning, maybe I will see you in paradise. Thank you so much. Thank you. I want to tell you, I really enjoy being with you here.
Question? Okay.
What is your advice? How to cope with boxing Egyptian husband? He looks down at you.
He looks down at you. The question is like that. I wonder if that was Egyptian. Because you didn't see other communities. Because if someone British, very cold, will be controlling, you know the difference. We, in general, in Egypt, we are much warmer than some of the European countries. That's why I remember 30 or 40 years ago in Germany, there was a trend in the newspaper encouraging German girls to marry Egyptians. Because their marriage is less in comparison to European marriages. So there is a benefit to marry an Egyptian, especially if it's conquered or not. Whether it's controlling or not, controlling, unfortunately, controlling is something obsessive compulsive behavior due to low self-esteem. At least understand, underlying that behavior there is low self-esteem. So, encourage and support your husband. When you see him weak in different areas, and some of you will come and tell you, we know that he has a very weak personality, but he's very controlling. He understands this is the reason. So instead of attacking him, support him. And the more his esteem will get better, the more he will diminish his control. And that was positive therapy for the control. But control, of course, you could complain from now to the end of the day. Any control, controlling attitude is addictive. Control is addictive. And he will not get away from it unless the cause of the problem ceases, which is not the same.
Would it be better to be unhappy in a marriage or not to get married to you?
I have never seen any marriage in which you are enjoying your real room and the two are not happy. I have never seen a marriage. The two are unhappy if they are enjoying their room. It makes a big difference. I tried today, the whole day, to talk about the third person, the spiritual, the heavenly room, the heavenly spouse. How is going to help? His presence shall find the need. If you are trained to do that, the other party, the other spouse, I'm sure will get better. Instead of nagging, instead of exploding, instead of complaining, instead of doing so many things, get to the altar and do it. The marriage will get better. Instead of just complaining, do not support it. Get to your real doom. So, the question is very pessimistic. As if there are no happy marriages. And since I assure you, if both of you are enjoying a heavenly room, whatever the problems are, you will resolve it. And if they are not resolved, you will enjoy things together while it's still there. If someone has cancer, you can't treat the cancer. But you could enjoy good time together. It's not good and not something to happen. Either cure, or healing, or departure. One of us must depart one day. Nothing happens there. He or she will depart to a place far better. And you will join later. As I told you, every marriage is temporary. But do you have to go through it? Yes. Because it is the plan of God for humanity. There's not a goal single. Either to be a monk or a monk consecrating your life or to marry. And if you review Matthew 19 and you will review that chapter, verse 12, 11 and 12, when the disciples asking Jesus if this is the matter between the man and his wife regarding divorce, better not to marry. He told them no. Only for those who were given. And he said about the eunuch, born like this, and those who made the men made the music, and those who made the film for the sake of the kingdom of God. The third of those three are the Muslim monks. Number one, number two, you don't marry. They are born unable. And number two, accident, something happened to them. And if you marry, you know that. But marriage is the plan of God for humanity. God confirmed in Cana of Galilee what He had instituted in Garden of Eden. The first mystery is a great mystery. And St. Paul said, the only mystery for which St. Paul said, for the Bible says, it's a great mystery. It's something very lovely. Those who are enjoying God in their marriage, they have never regretted marriage. But if you are listening only something negative, when I'm giving you here and saying this exercise will help you to make your marriage enjoyable more, or if there's something wrong, you will rekindle your marriage relationship. It doesn't mean all marriages need to be rekindled. When I see you experience and intimate and telling you, so you will leave that experience and be involved in the companionship and the intimate relationship. And so many are doing that. If the nest is empty, becomes empty, your companionship and intimate relationship will help you. Will help the parent. But if they're only taking care of the kids and the nest will be empty, you will look to one another as strangers, just working, continuing working, but you don't have anything in common. So start from now better than tomorrow regarding increasing the depth of the intimate relationship and the companionship, irrespective of how many years you are married. You could add something good to it. After 40, 50 years of marriage, you could still add something good, a positive element more, and you could enjoy more. Nothing is late to enjoy God in your marriage. Any other questions?
Is it my husband's right to know what is going between me and my father in confession? If you ask his name clearly about that, and he counts for me how many times do I speak to my father in confession?
Of course he has no right, but I wouldn't to answer more if you like.
For confession, of course not. But there is nothing to hide from your husband. Why do you hide anything? Yes, it is important sometimes that for example, some girls, they will tell their fiancé before they get married their previous experience, for example. That might not be forgotten for them even after marriage. So it is not a bundle. And it is not a Bible or a book. If, for example, a wife liked a man somewhere, nothing happened, but she liked that man, and she felt some feeling. It went and it is finished. Yes, you can go and tell my father because I have done, I have talked about that. But what about telling her husband? What did he say? Not okay. Okay. It will cause problems for her. So, I don't like hiding any action containing both of you or anything that contains both of you. But if something very private, you talk about or you have done, and you feel it will damage your relationship together, then it is wise to tell your father in confession. If your father in confession feels that you need to discuss it with your husband, yes, by all means. Yes? Yeah? But don't be afraid of telling your husband or your wife something you know that it will damage your relationship together. If it is something not positive, please discuss it with your father and confession.
The woman, certain men, we say that from experience, certain men ask your wife, why do you go to confession and your husband has to know everything? Talk to me. Why do you go to the point of confession? So, he is not believing that the something called you to confession. Because I cannot confess as my husband and tell him my sin. It's wrong regarding our beliefs. But out of curiosity, certain husbands want to know. And you could answer this with my father's confession. And you could go to the father's confession too. You don't want to go without him. And my spiritual life is between me and God. It's my spiritual life. It has nothing to do with you personally. It's something I don't discuss with you. But my spiritual life to me and God and the Buddha confession will give me the solution. He says again, I don't take the false belief we have that no need to go to confession only. I am your husband and you are one. Another false belief, everything allowed between wife and husband, and no need to go to anyone else. Instead of the father's confession, we are together and we do our life. What is that? We won't take the speech of our life. We can do it together. So, someone is underestimating the value of spiritual burden and this is confessional. Maybe he will not claim. But I see some men who are involved in the church and they have the kind of confession and they go regularly. And after marriage, it is a theme. It means something. It means something in them. Because sometimes I project on others what I'm saying. I project my spiritual life on others. If I am doing great to something so private, I don't tell anybody about it. Even my father's confession. I see there has to be something very private in our life. I fear that I'm projecting on heart what I have. So we know what is normal to be done. And father's confession would explain to the husband that it is something that's a routine, you have to do it. To empty the baggage to God in the presence of the confession. Any other question?
One comment, you can confess to your husband, or you can confess to your wife. And you can tell her or him everything. But you will not have the absolute. I will not forget it for you. You have to put it on the confession again. What about if the kid wanted to copy their parents and kissing and hugging? If they told them kissing and future.
Let them copy. Yes. They will come and hit us and tell us fun.
No, if they do the same with nothing on this friend.
No, if they will see us doing that to others, maybe they will do that. But if they see us as husband and wife, you know, hugging, if you live in the family, usually you will compete with the mom. You will go and compete for you with the dad on the mom. So like in Brazil, if the mom and mama are kissing, you go between their legs. They want to be kissed, they want to be hugged. And when you grow, they will know if they're feeling a lot of heat, you come between the middle. That's normal. I mean, the atmosphere of affection is there. And mom and dad both, you cannot have the kids. You take them from the land and play with them. A lot of atmosphere. And we grow in that atmosphere. They're not going to use that affection outside because they were trained to see affection in the home. Unless they see dad and mom show affection only to visitors, but not to themselves. Then we know affection is as when only given to outside people. But affection in the home usually is understood clearly by the kid and valued so much. In all the questionnaire, number one, behavior between parents, and the last one was parental behavior, number to love one another. To respect one another, not them. You also see them loving and respecting one another. In that, what the adolescents and children want from their parents. Yes.
We have a different problem. We are a very happy couple. Married.
They put their right hand with the pillow. Why is that? I don't forget about it here. After that, you want
to. We love each other so much. We can't help but display our affection for you. So sometimes we are criticized by Egyptians, saying that. But we shouldn't be so open enough. In case somebody who is child should be as important.
No, the parents of those kids will be jealous. They will be able to be accused by their children, why not you do like Uncle So and his wife? Well, afraid of that. Okay, affection is not sexuality. Affection is all over the street. Unfortunately, wrong kind of affection, I can't put affection, is pure love and sexuality. In the school, is there. In elementary school, high school, is there. It's the same. In college, is there. Kids know. In our churches, we prefer to be completely dry, not used to be one another. To avoid being involved in the wrong thing. In certain communities, it's forbidden for a servant even to hug or kiss a child. In his head or her head. You prevent them from serving you wrong. The thing is created as habit, which means unholiness is getting into the church. To the extent feeling the unholiness, we will not do what we're supposed to do. I encourage good women to hug other young women who are deprived from us. If a good mother knows how to hug her adult children. Please do it for some young women who are married and they need someone to show them love. And Father's Day, I'm saying, some are lacking fathers. They don't have fathers. Nothing wrong in showing them some affection. It must be a kind of affection. And nothing wrong if a man comes to my office especially to tell me, "You are the only man I looked at that long time ago and coming from your heart." Nothing wrong. So, in Father's Day, I'm saying, if some of you have enough father who feel giving to others, show them understanding and some affection. And women, give it to other young women who need that. Or even some women at your age, what can you do that? Nothing wrong with doing that. You don't wish money in it. And if I am pure, everything I will be pure. The problem is, I can't see holiness, but I am involved in the unholiness. So I am criticizing every behavior in front of me as unholy. To the extent we are now fearing to do the holy intervention. We have to omit reading from the liturgy certain sentence. The priest would encourage the people to have to show up for another by a kid. And then the deacon would say, "Kiss one another." This is not cheating hands with one another, as we are doing. This is Spanish influence. In other Orthodox churches, you give from the chief 3 or 4 times. But we have to pray for men for women, and not even we can do that. And if we even men with men, men with women, we just touch the hand. But we don't kiss one another. And if you are good, you must lean and kiss maybe the hand. But usually, from far away, it's just touch the hand. Kiss hand. Although, the deacon is saying, "Kiss one another." Not saying, "Shake hands with one another." So, for several reasons, because of a certain culture we're living in, we saw that other Orthodox churches are doing it. So I'm not saying any hate, but I'm saying originally the church in the liturgy is saying this one another little man. Very holy. But our mind now, because of the can and unholiness, we are thinking everything is unholy. And I hope God will still give us his holiness.
How can I prioritize my husband or my children when they are young and in need for time and other things? When I have also a housework and my work, is it fair?
Yes, it's fair. Do with the children what after they see you have some time. 5-10 minutes with your husband. Nothing wrong with that. Yes.
I'm very ambitious career wise, but I am aware in the same time that I have some defect which put me off most of the time between me and my husband. What should I do?
Which one? Shall we text which one? have effect which
I have some interest, which put me off most of the time.
They could have obtained making conscious away from her husband. She stands up from her husband.
Yeah, I think that's what she means.
Okay, she could work on changing herself. I mean, we said everybody works on himself or herself, not the other. If I have certain defects, I don't know the kind of defects to describe how. But if I have certain defects, I don't know how to deal with it. God has asked the father for question to be one by one. If these defects is separating you from your husband, of course the question is not clear. But this is the way. I have to deal with my own defects so I could change in order to pursue more godly, successful life. Yes.
What shall I do with my child that he enjoys teaching on you?
Onion?
You need also onion.
I feel happier after your talk. Thank you for this excellent presentation you made. Our insight into marriage even clear, and even after 27 years of experience with marriage, you answered all my questions. God bless you. Thank you.
God
bless the man. Can you tell us about the patience and of giving God the sign of what we get from God?
I think this question is related to the other self who's not saying inside. Not the problem. Because God is asking that understand the value of God. I will answer also in short. Not by stating what says in Malachi. No. I'm telling you, certain people are paying more than the price. Who doesn't sense? To the extent I know about a businessman who is paying monthly shan. Because the more he pays, the more God gets fine. So the more he gives, the more God gives. It's not only the sense, the person has. You know, there are certain chains of shops. The owner insists to put the name the Lord. Lord and Kill. It just depends. They insist to put because they see that themselves are owners with the Lord. And they told you the state of the bank there must be JC. Plus, they were my wife and I. So, the whole money is his, not the tenth. Whatever they are giving, and don't count. The tenth is the minimum, don't count. Yes, whatever you are giving and hiding, not the check, give it. And God will bless. But if you suddenly said no giving to the prices, there's something wrong. Because the money is his, and they don't want to give it to him. So, because he said something very clear in Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Starting verse 31. Describe what's going to happen in the judgment day. He divided the sheep from the goat when he will come with the same kingdom, and will tell them, come, O blessed of my father, and here's the kingdom. For I was hungry, I was thirsty. And then six things I never did. Whatever you gave to one of my little brother, you will give it to me. You are giving that day to Jesus. He gave me the money, and when I give it to any of his brethren, I give it to him. He's the owner. And he will, as if I'm giving for my own, he will stand counted as something good for me. And he's the owner. And how do you think of that? The money is not mine. The money is not mine. And when I use the money is the owner of the money, I'm getting advantage from that. How gracious it is. Could you do it? If you own money, you let me use it and give it to the poor, you say, no, it's my money. But he and those who are in need are one, and he puts his money with me to use it. And he says, all the money in the bank is his. And say, 10th or more. Try to give more. And try not to keep yourself from those who are in need. And you see the blessing. You have to experience the blessing. Without experience, you will not understand it. Please do it. Do it, and then you will see the, how much you will give him. Yes.
On the second part of St. Matthew chapter 19, there is a questionable question from the disciples about the importance of marriage and what the Lord has said about celibacy, I guess it means heaven. That does mean that our heavenly groom, if he is able to fulfill everything for us, then what the need for marriage? And if celibacy is a gift for some, not for the other, that does mean the heavenly groom is not able to fulfill the deficiency of one partner.
I don't think so. There's some misunderstanding here. The answer and just is not as a direct question. Which is better, marriage or monasticism? And you're asking a monk. And he said, righteous people who are married, living in righteousness, are better than the monastic. And when Saint Anthony and Saint Michael the Great, God wanted to tell them, those people who are better than them spiritually, you should to them now people. Correct? What do you mean there? And he answered in John to come, both of them are difficult way. The decision is difficult. And marriage is a mystery. when that still was wrong. Okay, this is not an issue of the church. The church cannot regard something which is bad, not fulfilling an issue of the church. And as I told you, God is the one who consecrated that mystery, the first of the seven. Why he could consecrate a mystery which is not fulfilling? If you don't want to marry, this and that, if you fear marriage, fearing marriage is therapy. But marriage by itself is a very holy, fulfilling mystery of the church, and God, he promised by his presence to make it an enjoyable experience with him. His plan for humanity is not a holy marriage of his presence. If someone would ask me, or ask me, to marry or to be or to go into monastic life, the answer is, of course, you have to marry. Not because of marriage. Because if someone does give him the calling for monastic life, he will not think to marry or not to marry. Just asking the question means he's not giving that calling. So it's not simple to marry, and you're not less in righteousness than those who are living in celibacy. Because virginity, as mentioned in the book of Revelation, is virginity of the mind and the heart. It's not virginity of the organ. If you have Saint Jerome, which is the apostle of celibacy, he was talking about some kind of celibate people who are wicked, because they are celibate regarding the body, but from within they are not celibate. Could I say married people are virgin or not? Answer me, please. After what spiritual virginity? Are these virgins or not? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Are you still awake?
Yeah.
It is hard for you to hear that term, married people who are virgins. The 10 virgins, the terrible 10 virgins, it means all those virgins were celibate. I betrothed you, all of you, as one chaste virgin. The wrong man, right? What does it mean? The whole church as a virgin. The whole church are celibate by the body. Virginity, which Jesus is looking for, is virginity of the mind and the heart, the spiritual virginity. Okay. Do you think if you are married, are you consecrated? Your bodies are consecrated? Because if you use your body, the temple of God, away from the mystery, then you are breaking your consecration. Understand this meaning. Marriage, even the sexual relationship, is holy, sanctified, thoroughly pure, according to the Jean Citron. Thoroughly pure. But we, because we are unholy, we are teaching so much. And so, because not so many are talking about the holiness of the real marital relationship and the marriage. We're only giving examples of holiness, the same monk and nun. And even quite few in our sanctuary are real mothers or real fathers. I mean, and in the third generation, you know, one will serve it and the other will not. It. And on Jesus. The two ways are ways of consecration of repentance for God. The two are holy ways. But not everybody could go into the monastic life. It has to be given. But it doesn't mean that those who are in monastic life will be better than you. It is a different thing. As a wife and husband, both of them are valued. The value of each one of them is the same, but they have different functions. There are two different ways, as Saint was mentioned, and both of them are difficult. And both sides is their way forward. But Satan doesn't like at all a good, successful, holy marriage. And also he doesn't like a monk or a nun who are living a holy life. And he is having wars with both of them. If you are living in righteousness and you are raising your kids in righteousness, I assure you that you are living a holy life and the Lord is with you. Don't feel inferior. Don't let anybody let you feel inferior to other kinds. No one is superior or inferior. There are two different ways and the two are reaching with the Lord's right to heaven. Maybe monastic life is easier to some of you. You think it's easier. But the good goes there so much. As the Satan wants to get everybody down. Don't think it's heaven on earth. But he's working. Satan is working to make heaven, whether a pure home or in the monastery, different. Saint Clement mentioned, if you have a righteous marriage, you are living in the garden of Eden for the hope. You are living another garden, Eden with God. So, if those fathers who were monks are meditating about the holy marriage with that holy way, we don't have to fear or under the great marriage. No one of them is inferior to others, speak to others. There are two different ways which you could teach to them.
The next one, Akhwan al-Habib, the poor Nabi, wa a'idda ya Nabi Sangidda, fahla wa a'adna, yastana, la 24 sa'a, la hannil wa la nasa. كلام الشيخ الجميل أن من القلب النقي والقلب المرفوع أمام الله. وأنا أعذر لكم حاجة، يعلم الله لا مبرر أنتم عارفين أنا أورجانيشن إنجليزي، ولكن كل كلمة بسمعها من دكتور نبيل بالحزن هو أعماق 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 قلبي. دي من إيه يا ترى؟ ممكن تقولوا لي من إيه؟ من روحانية الشخص المبارك اللي بيتكلم دكتور نبيل الكلام الخارج من القلب النفي والمرفوع أمام الله. وكمان مثال الذي تعلق قلبه بداود النبي، وانا مش عارف اعمل ايه بعد ما هو يسافر، او كلنا اقصد ان يصدقون كده. ويمكن انا عمري ما تاثر بالشكل ده من شخص مبارك، شخص تقي، شرط في روح الله الحقيقي شرط في مخافة الله. ويدل على كده كل فرد فينا حاسس بكده بهذه الروحانية العميقة الروحانية الجميلة واتصاله بالحبيب يسوع. يروا أعمالكم الحسنة كما جدوا أباكم الذي في السماوات. عندنا معك وإذا كنت بعيد عننا بالكسل أما روحك معنا وكلامك الشيق الذي طبع على كل قلب سمع الآن ومحفور في قلوبنا لا ننسى أبدا. ولكن نطلب منك لا تحرمنا من البركة الكبيرة على الأقل مرتين أو ثلاث مرات في السنة. ومش أنا الحقير والتراب والرمال المطلوب ولكن اخواتي المبرزون فردا فردا كبيرا وصغيرا. فما تحرمناش من بركه دي.
تحدث سيدنا وهو رجع من
مصر. لا طبعا انا هروح مخصوص واجي معاه ونستكيب وراء بينا يوم الجوة لأن احنا كلنا حبنا والمكان مكانا والجنيفة جنيفة وإخواتك كلنا إخواتك مثل نبيل ويعطيك العمر الطويل والصحة ويكتب لنا أمثال أمثالك للجنيفة وصلي من أجلي ربنا يساعدني ويعطيني حلال عن فراقك. ربنا معك حبيبي ومشي على محبتك. يعرفكم من الساعة كام دكتور النبيل النهارده؟ من 3 لـ 2 والساعة كام؟ نعم؟ من 2 لـ 3 الآن. يعني يا دولة ما يكون إنسان غير عادي يستحيل يحتمل الى اكل بلا شرب وعلى الانسان بحاله فرد من الماديات ولكن يدعو كما قال السيد المسيح ليس بالفضل وحده يحيى الانسان بل بكل كلمه من كفر صلى الله كرم الله للمغذيه واعطيه نعمه وشاع من وجهه على الاخرين وعلينا. ربنا يبارك فيك ويحفظنا يدوس المجيد حبيبي ويحفظك ويحفظ حياتك حبيبي في قلب الخالق. اقدم صليب رمز المحبه عليه يسوع المظلوم لخدمتك ومحبتك حاجه بسيطه.
Thank
you so much. وانا ما حبيت الدكتور من الانجلة اتفرق وحاكل معك البدر اتفرق ويبقى مخصوص على الشيء مش قادر اجيب اعملك ما قادرش وانا كان مطلوب مني مش قادر. لا مش تنفيذ. لا الواقع يعني اقل حاجه انا كنت بحبته وتبقى بركه ليا انا وشرف شهود ليا.
Ich
bin
in der Nähe. Hallo. Ja. Ah, gut, aber das ist gut, aber dann. Kann ich euch